Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make my joy full by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So when he says we've got to have the same mind, it doesn't mean that we're all identical. It doesn't mean that actually we all are just like robots, all just one and the same. When he says be of one mind, the one mind is the mind of Jesus. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Each of you not looking on his own things, but each of you to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, be of the same mind. That is, have the mind of Christ. If you're trying to have the mind of Christ, that is to think as Jesus would think, and I'm trying to think as Jesus would think, then we will have the fellowship of the Spirit, the fellowship of the one mind, the one Spirit of Christ. So now he's going to talk about the mind of Jesus, and let's remember that, because these next verses are misunderstood by people who think that Jesus literally existed before he was born, and then he came down from heaven to earth. That's not what happened at all. So, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though being in the mental image of God, that is, he thought absolutely like God, did not consider grasping at being equal with God. He didn't even once think about being equal with God. So he was not God. But instead he poured himself out, taking the mental attitude of a servant, and was made just the same as all ordinary men. So I think this is particularly talking about the cross. Not what happened when he was born, but what happened at his death. He poured himself out. This is Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament had predicted that he would pour out his soul unto death when he died. So he poured himself out, taking the mental attitude of a servant. You remember before he died, he washed the disciples' feet and was made just the same as all ordinary men. And being perceived as a normal man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God highly exalted him and gave to him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now just notice that we are to confess that Jesus is Lord or Master, to the glory of God the Father. So he humbled himself when he died, and he will be lifted up and exalted when he comes again. And he was indeed lifted up and exalted when he was resurrected. And therefore we now worship him, but to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and questionings, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or laboured in vain. So, we are separate from this world. We live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and we amongst them shine as lights in the world. So the difference between us and the world is as big as that between light and darkness, and we are offering them the light, holding out to them the word of life. Yes, and if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all, and in the same manner you also should be glad and rejoice with me. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may also be cheered up by news of you. So you see, Paul's whole life was centered around other people, And if the Philippians were holding on in faith, and if Timothy would come back and say that, yep, they're holding on, they believe, oh, well, that was such news of joy for him. For I have no one like-minded who will truly care for your welfare, for they will seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father he served as an apprentice with me in declaring the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Now don't forget, he's in prison, and yet there from prison, he's operating this whole system of pastoral care, despite all his problems, like somebody who may have an illness, who may be limited what they can do physically, and yet using their phone, using internet or whatever, they have the ability to get out there and actually do so much good for other people. Therefore, he says, I hope to send Timothy at once as soon as I see how it goes with me, but I trust in the Lord that I myself also will come to you soon. Well, he's in prison, but he trusts in the Lord that he will be delivered from prison so that he might go and strengthen these believers in Philippi. But I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you'd heard that he was sick. So there in prison, Paul talks about his fellow workers and his fellow soldiers. Even though he was absolutely limited in his cell, or possibly in the house he was allowed to live in, but he was all the same chained to a Roman soldier, he felt that he had fellow workers and fellow soldiers, that he was active for the Lord's service. And so whatever your limitations, you might feel that you're too young, that you're too old, you might feel that you haven't got enough resources. No, you can still be an active worker and soldier like Paul was when he was in prison. So he says about Epaphroditus, indeed he was sick and near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him more diligently, so that when you see him again you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Therefore receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold such in honour, because for the work of Christ he came near to death, hazarding his life to supply that which was lacking in your service toward me.